Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
March 17th, 2009, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, iPhone as your compact camera. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I want to talk about something today that's been bouncing around in my head for a while, and I keep noticing things. And then also on the Digital Story itself, on the blog, the daily blog that I do, I've been talking a lot about photography applications for the iPhone. And there's this sort of this convergence thing happening. Now, today, March 17th, is the day that Apple is going to announce, or at least by all reports, is going to announce the iPhone 3.0 software, and we may even see some hardware to go with it. So this is like an iPhone day, March 17th, big iPhone day. And so I thought this is a good time for me to cover some of the stuff that's been bouncing around in my head about using your iPhone as a compact camera and beyond, really, too. Not just as a compact camera, but as a very full-bodied photography tool. Now, before you decide that I'm totally off my nut here, hear me out, because I've actually been thinking about this. This isn't something that just came to me in a dream last night, and I'm channeling it from Cupertino or something like that. So let's start with there's like three or four different aspects to this. Let's start with the camera itself. So the iPhone camera, as we know it now, and this could change today, but as we know it right now, when I'm doing this podcast, is a 2-megapixel camera built into the iPhone. So the lens is back. There's a fixed focal length lens. It's a fixed aperture lens. The aperture is f2.8, and that's fairly bright. That's not a bad aperture. You can shoot in dim light with it and still get reasonably good shots. Now, you can also improve the photos that you take with your iPhone with a little bit of technique. For instance, one thing that people don't realize when they're holding up their iPhone to take a shot, they'll tap that button on the screen that's basically the shutter button. And a lot of times the process of doing that will cause some camera movement. Actually, what you can do, and you probably know this, but I'm gonna go over it anyway. What you can do is actually just put your finger on that shutter button and just hold it there. Align your shot, get everything exactly the way you want it, hold the camera very steady, and then just release, pull your finger off the touch screen very gently, and the iPhone will take the picture at that moment. So instead of tapping, the button on the screen and kind of messing with, your camera position and your steadiness and everything, just hold your finger on that button and then just release it, just move it off, and it'll take a picture. And you'll be surprised. Just doing that simple thing will give you much better shots, especially when you're in low light. Most of the controls for the iPhone are automatic. White balance, exposure, all that sort of stuff. Now, one of the things about the white balance in particular is that it's very flattering for skin tones. Actually, Apple did a very good job with their automatic white balance. It corrects extremely well under many different lighting conditions, and it's usually flattering for people. So, in fact, I have to say it's one of the better automatic white balances I've seen on a compact camera. Now, in terms of exposure and so forth, you get what you get. And a lot of times you see the exposure changing in real time as you move the camera around on the scene. And what I will do a lot of times is actually to get the exposure I want will influence my composition a little bit, where I will just angle the camera down a little bit or angle the camera up a little bit to get exactly the exposure I want, and then I'll take the picture. So you do have some control if you just really watch it while you're setting up your shot. Now, as I mentioned earlier, it's a 2-megapixel camera, so the file sizes are 1600 by 1200. And, you know, that is definitely good enough for a good 4x6 print and a decent 5x7 print. So as a compact camera, as a snapshot camera, it does have enough resolution, and we'll see if that changes. Even if it doesn't, though, I don't think it really impacts the point that I'm making today, which is it's still very serviceable as a compact. Now, I have an anecdote for you around all of this, and we're still in, you know, part one of this right now. So I was at an event the other night, and there was a championship basketball game. And I was a photographer there, and I was shooting the game and so forth. Then the game was over. It was for a tournament. And then so all the teams were presented their trophies and so forth. And then coaches and parents and, you know, folks hanging around were kind of grouping up the boys to take group shots with them holding the trophies and so forth. Guess what? All the cameras were being used for this. I mean, literally a flood of iPhones suddenly appeared out of people's pockets, and that's what they were using to take pictures with. So, you know, sort of my point is, whether we acknowledge it or not, among just a whole bunch of people, the iPhone is becoming their compact camera. It is a camera that they have with them all the time. So if that's the case, then let's look at this device and look at, well, what can we really do with it beyond just pulling it out of our pocket and doing a quick group shot when we need to take a picture and we don't have a regular camera with us. The first thing that you have is connectivity. And this is an area that separates the iPhone from most compact cameras that are out there. Not only do you have a device where you can capture information, but then right away you can send it somewhere. You can either send it over the cellular network, and that would either be, you know, for the first generation, I think it's 2.5 gigahertz network, or with the newer 3G iPhone, it'd be over 3 gigahertz network. So you have cellular network right away. And then if you're within range of an open Wi-Fi network, you also have that, so which gives you most of the time even more bandwidth. So right away, you have a bandwidth connected to the camera. Now, this came into play, for instance, on probably the definitive shot of the U.S. Air flight that landed in the Hudson River. You know, Sully, the captain, who's now, you know, very famous here in the United States, as a guy that took a plane that was falling out of the sky anyway, found a place to land it, landed it in the Hudson River, and you know, basically everyone you know, survived the crash. The definitive shot that you saw over and over again of that event, where the plane is floating on the water. And then all the passengers are out on the wings, standing on the wings, waiting to be rescued. That definitive shot was taken with an iPhone from a ferry there in New York. And one of the reasons why it became the definitive shot, other than it was a powerful image, was that the guy right away, got that shot out. He used Twitter to talk about it. He sent that shot out. So it wasn't just the fact that he took the picture and then waited hours, days, to get it out there. He took the shot and then right away, you know, got it out there. And so this connectivity is a big part of what makes this device, you know, so compelling. Because you can take shots and then right away you can share them either over the cellular network or over the Wi-Fi network. So that's, you know, point number two. Point number one is you actually have a rather decent camera. Point number two is you have a camera that has connectivity. Now, when those photos are, you have different ways to share the images with the iPhone, that you capture with the iPhone. One is email, and you can send an email with the picture attached right there from the iPhone. Generally speaking, when you use that the standard way, you're not getting a full resolution photo. I think it gets sampled down to 640 by 480. If you want the full resolution of the shot, you know, you can always get to it. You can connect the phone to a computer. And then there is lots of software that also allow you to access the full shot. So if you think that there's a problem, you know, with your phone, that it's not capturing at full resolution, you know, when you send it out, it's capturing at full resolution. It's just the manner by which you're sending it. Now, another interesting thing about it is that the 3G iPhones geotag every shot. They geotag every shot as long as they can get a position. And it has GPS, and it uses cellular towers. It uses everything. And so if you're looking for a camera that geotags at capture, the iPhone is one of the easiest cameras out there that does that, and one of the very few that do that. Now, even the first generation iPhone will add geodata when it can. It doesn't have GPS built into it, so it's trying to use cell phone towers and Wi-Fi and so forth to do it. And in my testing, it does sometimes and it doesn't sometimes, so you can't count on it. And since just by looking at the picture on the iPhone, you can't tell if it's been geotagged or not unless you use additional software, it's hard to know. But if it can, it will. And it will also add those geotags to your photo. So both the first generation and the second generation phones try to add geotags. The second generation phone, because it has GPS built in it, does a better job. So if you want a geotagging phone, again, the iPhone is adding that information to the images, and you have it right there, and you're done. You don't have to use additional devices or additional software to add geotags to your phone. So I think that's also fairly interesting. Now, the next area is then actually, since the phone is a computer running a Mac OS X, then it's opened up to third-party applications now as of firmware version 2, there are a ton, and I mean a ton, of photography applications for the iPhone. And if you haven't done this recently, you should check this out. Go to iTunes, and this is regardless whether if you're a Mac or Windows. Go to iTunes, click on the App Store, click on the photography category, and just start browsing. You'll have page after page after page of photo applications designed for this device, and all sorts of photo applications. You have applications that extend the built-in camera's abilities. You can add an application that gives you a self-timer. You can add an application that gives you controls over lighting and exposure. You can add applications that allow you to create panoramas. You can add applications that allow you to create HDR. It goes on and on and on. There is just a ton. There's a wealth of stuff that help you with the camera at capture. And then you have even more applications that allow you to do stuff with your pictures after you've taken them. So, you're out and about, you're traveling, you're doing whatever, and you take some shots with your iPhone, and then you're on a plane. And, it's safe to turn on your electronic devices again. You're up at 30,000 feet cruising along. And then so suddenly you can start looking at these pictures and opening them up in different applications, such as Camera Bag, and playing with your images, image editing them, adding effects, doing all sorts of, very fun stuff. And your original photo is protected. And then it creates, another photo with the effects that you've done in this application. So the ability to not only take your pictures, but then to play with them and actually do some very interesting things. This is incredible. And these applications are so easy to use. So again, let's go back to our compact camera situation. If you're shooting with a compact, one of the biggest problems that people have is that they love taking the pictures, but then they hate the workflow that follows. They don't like uploading them to their computer. They don't like trying to learn Photoshop or whatever. They hate all that stuff. They just want to have their pictures. So with the iPhone, basically all of those things that you hate in the workflow can be handled much easier on the phone itself. You pick the applications that have the tools that you want and use them right there on your iPhone. You don't have to fool around with a bigger computer. And a lot of the applications are free. And then the ones that you even have to pay for are prices like $199 US, $2.99 US. Maybe if you go for something very exotic, you can pay up to $9.99 for an application. That's rare. Most of the time, they're going to be $4.99 or less. You start comparing that to image editing software on the computer, and there's a huge price difference, and the price difference is in your favor on the iPhone. And then you have other things that, for instance, let's say that you go, I don't want to use a computer at all. So then you have applications such as the HP application, the printing application, that allows you then, if you have an HP computer, to just go ahead and you have access via a wireless network. You may have heard in the background, I just turned on my iPhone there. It's called HP iPrint. Then you just find the image that you want in your iPhone, use HP iPrint, a little application that's free on your iPhone, and send it to a printer. The printer just has to be an HP printer connected to a Wi-Fi network, in my case, just my home network. And then the prints come out, and you're done. You're done. You can hand the print off to Aunt Jane or whatever you want to do. So suddenly, the whole thing, I don't want to have a big hassle on the workflow side, becomes much easier. Now, I'm just going to read to you a few of the applications that I have on my iPhone. And I don't have, the tons of photography ones like that are available. But the ones that I like a lot, I use a Dark Slide, which allows me to connect my photos easily to my Flickr account. So I have a lot of control over sending iPhone photos up there. And by the way, I can make sure that the geodata is added and displayed on Flickr. HP iPrint that I told you about, which I use for making prints quickly. Photo Timer, and that's FOTO Timer, is a self-timer application, which is really nice because if you want to get in a group shot or something, lean your little iPhone up against something, use Photo Timer and get in the shot. Or if you want to steady it for a time exposure, it comes in very handy. It's very useful. I use Panorama, where I actually capture panoramas both in vertical or horizontal mode and then stitch them together right here. Photo Lab, a post-processing application. Camera Bag, another post-processing application. Photo Buddy, which is a resource. I have the EOS 5D Mark II, the handy guide. So I basically have an owner's manual for my Canon 5D Mark II here on my iPhone, which is much easier to use and carry around. And actually, in all honesty, it's organized much better. And then they update it. In fact, I just got an update the other day that added more information in the video capture section. So they continue to work on it. And as they work on it, they post a new version. And then you get an updated manual. So it's also for photography reference. One application that I thought was really interesting that I stumbled into when I was doing some research for this was a posing guide. Something with like 300 poses. Now, and the first one was for posing women and very tastefully done. They're in dance outfits. Shows you all the different poses. So if you're out on a photo shoot, you're taking portraits and you're kind of stuck on, on how to pose the subject, you open up your posing guide here, you kind of thumb through it, find some stuff that you like and go, oh yeah, maybe that'll work for this person. So you also have photography reference. So there's this now, and this is all in the same device that you're using to take the picture. So I just think that it has become time to legitimize this as your compact camera. I'm not saying get rid of your 8 megapixel compact camera and only use the iPhone. But what I am saying is that if you have an iPhone and you're walking around with it, realize what you have in your pocket. Realize, don't not take a picture because you don't have your regular compact camera with you. Use your iPhone. And if you practice with it, you'll be surprised at how good you can become with it. And then get to know, go to iTunes Music Store and look at the applications. Look at the free applications, photography applications for it, and play with them and learn them a little bit. And then that way, when it's time to use them, then you know you can. And for instance, let's say that you do capture some sort of event that just happened. If you're already good with the iPhone as a camera, if you already know how to maybe do a little image adjusting really quick, and if you already know how to share the image with the world, you are carrying around, as a photographer, as a citizen journalist, you are carrying around a very powerful tool in your pocket that, in all honesty, could end up on the front page of tomorrow's newspaper. So I'm fairly excited about this. We'll see what happens with the announcements that are made today with version 3 software. But even if they do things like improve connectivity and improve the supporting applications for it, that makes this whole scenario, this whole workflow work better. So that's my spiel on iPhone as your compact camera. And if you're thinking about getting a new compact camera, if it's time to get a new phone or something, think about this. Really, think about what I talked about today and maybe go take a look at some of the applications that are available and think about, well, maybe this is a direction that might work for me or for someone that I love. Okay, so much for that. Let's take care of a little news, sponsor news. I want to start out with Boinks TV, because I'm working with that application now. I have some projects. Remember when I was talking about the site redesign and we're introducing a new site? That's all still going on. Just because I haven't talked about it doesn't mean we're not working on it. And so I'm using Boinks TV now to create the look that I want for some of the videos that we're going to be posting soon and so forth. And I'm really liking it. And they have like what they call the sponsored version now. So you can get the software cheaper, and it just has a little ad sponsor stuff there. So and we have a new tile on all the pages in Digital Story, so you might want to take a look at that. Red River Paper, I just ran a piece where they had a page on making panorama prints, and which I thought was really interesting and really well done, and it's a how-to guide. And so that article is on the Digital Story. And, of course, you can get to it by just clicking also on the Red River tile that's on all the pages there. But they continue to support photographers by providing interesting information and things to do with output. And then SiteGrinder, and I'm working on setting up an interview right now with someone who uses SiteGrinder. A lot of photographers very high on it and has some very interesting things to say. And, of course, SiteGrinder allows you to design a website in Photoshop and then output it to very nice HTML and CSS. So all just really thankful to all of our sponsors. And as I think I may have mentioned in the last show, there's a Think Tank photo bag tile on there now. We have our own landing page there. And if you buy something, I think for $49 or more, then you have your choice of some free optional bags and pouches and so forth. It's kind of fun, really terrific stuff, and I'm going to be doing more reviews with Think Tank stuff also. So I welcome and thank all of our sponsors and affiliates for helping us keep the show going. Last thing, we're getting we're rolling through the month here, and Sign of the Times is our photo assignment. You know, I hope you participate with this. I'm very excited about it, and you have till the end of March. And if you're out rolling around and if it's something that isn't maybe good for the photo assignment, but it's a great grab shot, then send that in too. Okay, that's going to do it for me for this week. I'd be curious to hear what you think about this idea as iPhone as a compact camera. Post a comment if you have something to say. And you can always follow me on Twitter comment there, and it's Derek_story is my Twitter name. And if I don't hear from you at all, then hopefully you'll be back here next week when we talk about more good photography stuff here on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.